Hydro-Québec claims that this is a green project. In other words, it's renewable energy. Well, you couldn't dam, if the Romaine River were in the United States, you couldn't do this project. The EPA forbids it. So, and one could ask if PSNH is involved, if they're considering renewable energy, why aren't they replacing their coal plant at Bow? That's 438 megawatts. That's way under what this is producing.
Right now we're putting tons of pollutants, no matter what you burn, into the air. I mean, we can't let this continue. We've got to do something. We've got to do it now.
What I liked about the Northern Pass project is
it's hydroelectric energy. Water is water. You're always going to have water flowing. Hydro energy, I think, is one of the cleanest energy there is. There's no greenhouse gases, no global warming to worry about.
It's all about sending power from a supposedly green project, which is not green, down to a hungry market, which is Hartford and Boston. What is there green about flooding millions of trees, which sequestered carbon and gave off oxygen? Come on. And the media have just not touched this issue. There's nothing green about flooding millions of trees to produce hydropower. You know, why is this not being questioned? And, you know, I'm a media guy. I love media. But why is this not being addressed? I just don't get it.
Well, that's John Harrigan from the Union Leader and also a lifelong resident of Colebrook and knows a whole lot of things about the environment here in New Hampshire and apparently a little bit beyond, too. And that started off with Larry Rappaport, state representative from Colebrook. And then in the middle, we heard from Jack, who you might recognize from some of the Northern Pass ads who try to say that, you know, there's no greenhouse gases involved with hydropower and that there's no... water is always going to be there. And it's always going to be moving. Well, we'll examine those claims. And those claims have been examined about just how great damming up an entire river is in Canada. And there is a movie that has made its debut, and it's been showing around New Hampshire in recent days. It started off on Thursday night in Colebrook at the Tillotson Theater. Or Tillotson Center, and now it's been at the Red River Theaters in Concord. It's also been in Wolfboro and will be at many places throughout New Hampshire in the coming days and weeks. And in fact, if you can't make it to Concord tonight, it will be tomorrow at the New Hampshire Audubon Massabesic Center in Auburn. And so you can go to my website as well at briantilton.com on the Northern Pass page and see it. So whether you're in Concord, in Manchester, Auburn, Hanover, Plymouth, and even wrapping up in Keene in April. So it's all over the place. This is looking to be pretty good. Well, I'm very fortunate to be joined today by the filmmaker, Nicholas Boyclair, who's made his way throughout the Granite State so far, made his way down from Quebec. And Christophe Courchaine from the Conservation Law Foundation is accompanying him today. Gentlemen, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, so now, did I mention, my French is absolutely horrendous. Is it Boyclair?
Yeah, more Boisclair? Or less Boisclair.
Boisclair, yeah. Okay. I will try to say it correctly.
My English is not very good neither, so that's why on the film, I have subtitles.
Yes, that's good. Well, there's a lot that has been said about hydropower. Some of it... It could be true. Others could not be true. You have taken a mission, I think, in your movie, and I'll have you describe it. Basically, you've gone down a river that later on was dammed up. Am I correct?
Yeah, we wanted, by this expedition we did on the river in a canoe, we wanted to show the scale of the project. It took us 46 days to travel all the way from the source to the mouth of the river. So you imagine how big it is. And most of the traveling we did would be in a either flooded area or dried area by the dams.
Mm. So what they've done what these hydro projects do is they take a river that has been flowing freely since the beginning of time.
Since the last ice age, I would say.
and go, they just basically build a massive dam and flood however many acres of land.
Yeah, Usually we speak about it in Quebec in square kilometers.
Okay. Okay?
So you could talk about square miles also if you prefer. So it's about 100 square miles of reservoirs that they're going to create, and there's going to be 7 miles dry because the water will go in the power station instead of going to the river for a couple of miles, so they produce more electricity.
So where there was a river, there isn't going to be.
It's
going to
be four artificial lakes in Cascade and a dry area between each other. So it's no more a river. Hydro-Québec could say, well, there'll still be life. The life will be quite different. It's no more going to be a river ecosystem. It's going to be a reservoir ecosystem. So there's going to be different fish. The fish that will be there will be contaminated with mercury. So it's quite different.
And what caused you to go out and explore this? First of all, what river did you go on?
It's the Romaine River.
Okay. And what got you to go out and do this documentary?
I think I went there because it seemed that since nobody lives there, nobody was taking care of this area. In the Valley of St. Lawrence, we have the shale gas industry that wants to develop, and there's about 2 million people. So there's a lot of concern, lots of opposition, lots of information circulating. But about the northern ecosystem, since not a lot of people live there, we receive very few information in the south. So we wanted to film the river to bring it south, to bring it to Montreal, to Quebec, to New Hampshire, to New York State, to Vermont. We want everybody to see what we are about to flood to sell them this electricity. And what are the consequences and what are the alternatives? It's quite rare in a documentary that you see the problems and the solutions. In our film, we put the solutions on, and we think it was a good idea because we still need to learn a lot about geothermal energy, biogas, biomass electricity, and biomass heating that can replace oil in your houses also and gas. It's a very clean way if you use the good biomass. We're showing a pellet stove in the film.
One of those.
Yeah, great. Which is much cleaner than burning logs. Mm-hmm. When you're burning logs, you create more smoke and particles.
Particulate matter.
Exactly.
And Christophe Courchain from the Conservation Law Foundation, you certainly hear this a lot from people say, well, you can't just say no, you've got to have an answer for yes, and that's what the movie does too.
That's one of the great things about this movie. It really does go through the range of alternatives, show that they are practical, cost-effective, realistic, and explain that it's not an either-or proposition. It's not, big hydro or nothing. It's not coal or nothing. There are a lot of different alternatives, and I think the film does a great job of showing them.
And there are many small projects that could be done everywhere. So it could create a job everywhere over the state of New Hampshire or over the province of Quebec. If we start installing pellet stove, whereas there's a house, we can install a pellet stove, so we can create jobs around. It's not people who will go working 1,000 miles north of their home for 3 years. They work in their community. They go back to their family every night.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real shift of thinking. The large projects compared to the small project. You can produce electricity on your roof. You can produce hot water on your roof also. So it's bringing the power closer to the people and less impacts on the environment and better job creation also.
And there's a point to be made about that one too, Christophe, as we look in New Hampshire with the forestry business too, providing so much of what has been low-grade timber to the pellet manufacturers and to the biomass power plants, which we have 5 or 6 of them in New Hampshire already.
We've done a lot of work in the state of New Hampshire to promote local renewable energy, and we've set up a lot of policies that are really trying to move us in that direction. And one of our big concerns about additional imports of hydropower from Canada is that those imports would undermine all those local efforts and would take the pressure off in a way that would be detrimental to those local economies. And I think you see that analogy to the large-scale hydro project development to, you know, transmission project development, which is really going to, which is a temporary hit to the economy that you get frequently out of state workers, at least according to the analysis that the power generators did. You know, it's a largely an out of state workforce that comes in for several years to build the line and then leaves, and then you have several jobs in Franklin to make sure that the converter station continues to work, but it's really not a long-term economic development strategy for the state, and that's really where we should be moving in terms of our energy sector.
Exactly. As I just had the discussion before you came in, supporting our local businesses, supporting our local jobs. When I buy my wood pellets, I buy it from a local supplier, LaValle Middleton Building Supply. They get their wood pellets from Jaffrey, New Hampshire. Where does Jaffrey, New Hampshire, you know, New England wood pellet, where do they get their wood from? From New Hampshire loggers. So, you know, and that's what we're doing, to your point, Nicholas.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, some of the other things that from looking at the movie trailer, you talk about, you know, biogas as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everybody goes to the toilet once a day at least, I guess. There's lots of pork, cows, mm-hmm. chicken. They all create the same manure.
Yeah.
And we also have lots of... you know, peel of potatoes and all that vegetable parts that we don't use.
Sure.
All this can create biogas. And we also often say that there's no energy that have no impact. But biogas, if you don't do it, you have an impact, a bad impact on the environment. And if you do it, you catch the methane and you use it as an energy source. So you're reducing the greenhouse gas, you're reducing the smell, you're reducing the coliforms that will go one day or another in the river. You know, when the farmer will put the manure on its field.
Yep.
If it rains, it's going to go in the river. It's going to pollute the river. So if you catch it, you produce good compost with the manure of the farms. Of course, when it's human waste, it's different. They won't spread it in the fields after it's but you know, so you're creating energy, you're reducing really the greenhouse gas, so it's the cleanest energy you can think.
And a number of our farmers around here can relate to this because they will take the manure and use that in their structures for the animals, and you know, the heat that that gives off helps to keep them warm, so they're not running heaters and, also, and wasting electricity and fuel and the
exactly
like.
Well, a farmer could probably produce enough heat to heat his own buildings and also some of his neighbors and produce electricity as well. Or they could do they could combine many farms together if they're close, try to have like 10 farms with a little pipeline under the ground, bring all these this manure to the same farm and produce lot more, so you have a lower price per kilowatt hour produced and per units of energy.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. In Europe, in Sweden, there's buses, many buses and government vehicles that are powered with biogas.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible. We're just a little behind. But I think in the few years, everybody will want to do that.
Especially as the price of gasoline and oil keeps going up
exactly.
And away. 1-866-823-1077. Nicholas Boisclair, he is the filmmaker of Seeking the Current. He's not the only one. There's a collaborative effort here.
Yeah, Alexis de Gelder is the co-director, but he won't be there tonight.
Oh, he won't. But you will be there tonight at Red River Theater, 7 o'clock in Concord, and that's on South Main Street. I need to take a time out here. I want to talk with you some more because I want to talk about your experience of going down the Romaine River, and you can tell our listeners what you have seen and you know, your insight into a lot of that. So right here on Bulldog Live with me, your host, Bulldog Brian Tilton, also joined by Christoph Corshane from the Conservation Law Foundation here on The Pulse.